Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Man, what an interesting night we had. Whew. Talk about an interesting night in the National Football League, where Pat Mahomes ends up getting hurt and dislocates his kneecap. And the reports are, what you're going to hear from everybody in Kansas City is, hey, best case scenario, this is what happened, best case scenario. That's what took place. Well, actually, the truth is, the best case scenario is you don't get hurt, right? Right? And I fully, completely understand that it could have been worse, but it wasn't good, and you're not going to have your quarterback. And let's also keep in mind, that while it isn't that bad, and it could have been worse, it is not something that you're just going to throw him back out there. Mahomes had a bad ankle, was playing well. They were going to win the game. It's a quarterback sneak. Stuff does happen. It's football. But remember, you have a quarterback who at the end of this year, everyone assumes he's going to sign the biggest contract in the history of the sport. Kansas City Chiefs are looking at this like it's a lifetime contract. He's their quarterback for the next 10 years. So as much as you feel like your Super Bowl window can close, or you could fall out of the playoffs, one, they're in the AFC West, which Chargers have been very disappointing. Broncos aren't any good. Obviously, they smashed them yesterday. And the Raiders, while surprising, it's not like they're going to run away and hide. You can hang around. But more than anything, you got to look long-term, not short-term. Long-term, not short-term. But I do think that Chiefs fans are going to go through all five stages of crisis, right? Like denial. The first stage is denial. We'll be fine without him. We'll be okay. Matt Moore's solid. He's solid, right? Like we've had Alex Smith, who's captain checkdown. We've had other quarterbacks. Look at all the talent we have. We're fine. You know, there's also a little bit of anger. There was last night. There will be continuing to have anger, which is, what in the world was Andy Reid doing having a quarterback sneak with Pat Mahomes? Forget the fact that Tom Brady has a quarterback sneak at least once, if not twice a game, and that is, in fact, football. Like, we can't wrap these guys in bubble wrap, and generally, having a guy stand as a statue in a pocket that's going to collapse is more dangerous on your body than sneaking forward. Then they'll go through bargaining. You know, maybe we can trade for Cam or Mariota. Here's mine. What about Nick Foles? What about Foles? There's Minshew mania in Jacksonville. Foles knows this offense from his time in Philadelphia. Why not Nick Foles? Never know. There's depression, right? They had to play the Packers next week. They'll probably get smashed by the Packers. And it was supposed to be this epic showdown between the Packers and the Chiefs. The Aaron Rodgers against kind of the future Aaron Rodgers. And we'll see if ultimately there's acceptance. All five stages for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Kansas City Chiefs fans. But I think it's most important to recognize. I mean, ridiculously, seriously, incredibly important to recognize that last night was huge. Last night was big. Because the only thing you felt like could derail Pat Mahomes is a debilitating injury. And I know that Drew Brees suffered one. That was his shoulder. Obviously, Tom Brady suffered one. That was his knee. Heck, Philip Rivers suffered one. That was his knee. So this does happen. The problem is kind of the casualness with, oh, the knee popped out. You pop it in. No structural damage. You're fine. Like, no, he's not Riggs from, he's not Lethal Weapons Riggs. He doesn't just pop his shoulder out and pop it back in when he needs to escape from the bad guys. Don't just pop your knee back in. I mean, I guess you do. The problem with a knee popping out and popping back in with such ease is, what's to stop from popping out and pop back in again, right? And every time it pops out, it becomes even looser. You know, this is like shredding a screw, right? Like, the first time you get it, not bad, but the more and more you do it, the worse it becomes. So this is not me predicting gloom and doom for Pat Mahomes long term, but I think the idea that people are walking around Kansas City or walking around with their fantasy team or just walking around as NFL fans going, geez, it'll be fine. They're already 5-2. You know, we'll be fine without them. You got Packers and Vikings. You're not winning either of those two games. And by the way, those are two home games, right? You got Packers, Vikings. Then you go to the Titans. We'll see what they look like by then. Then you got the Chargers who beat you at home last year, and that's a divisional game. Before you get the Raiders, another divisional game. He's not playing in those. He's not going to play against the Patriots. Do you know how long it's going to be until you see him again? You know? They have the 12th most difficult remaining schedule. I look at this is a dramatic change in the AFC. Because even if he's cleared to play, are you going to put him out there? Like this isn't any other quarterback. This is the most prized possession in the NFL. I tweeted this, and you can go through my tweets, and there's a lot of them. I'm kind of embarrassingly so. But I tweeted this a couple weeks ago. The Kansas City Chiefs went from being kind of the punchline to many jokes for NFL fans, right? Terrible in the playoffs, especially at home. Andy Reid finding a way to lose early, blah, 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 to the envy of NFL teams. You had arguably the best quarterback, if not maybe not best quarterback, best arm, and guy with the best talent in the league, still under rookie control, right? With a quarterback-friendly offense, a quarterback-friendly head coach, and a team totally built around his skill set. Like, all of these things are perfect. You went from that to, this is a nightmare scenario. A nightmare scenario. You've already lost 2 out of 3. You got the Packers coming in, the Vikings coming in. Those are two teams with dynamic defenses, good pass rushes. They're going to get after Matt Moore, and now they'll have more of a book on him. Then you go to the Titans, Chargers at home. Raiders and Patriots, and while you can hear the, well, they'll only miss 3 games. If it's 3, plan on it being 6. Because this is not a 2-year, 3-year relationship that the Chiefs want to have with Pat Mahomes. They don't want, no one wants to be the Golden State Warriors, who people still think, even Kevin Durant was like, look, no one had anything to do with me playing except for me. That's still not good enough for NBA players, for NBA fans. Like, oh, Golden State knew. They knew he was going to leave. They didn't care. They like that. Pat Mahomes isn't going anywhere. They want him to stay. They want him to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the Chiefs. And that includes the great Len Dawson and Joe Montana, who was there, and the great Elvis Gerback. And if they want that to happen, they're going to err on the side of caution. That's what we all do. And when you have a quarterback who's in his second year as a full-time starter and his knee pops out, and the only thing that keeps knees from popping out more often is rest and continual rehab and staying off of it, right? Staying away from the contact which may have popped that knee, I'm telling you, he's going to be out much longer than they say, because caution would win the day. And in the meantime, a team that is completely and totally built around his skill set, his offense, his arm talent, his feet. We brought the stats to you yesterday about how, you know, the long drives and being on the field for more plays and longer drives than anybody in the league would ultimately keep him from a Super Bowl. But that's because he hid everything else. He was a great deodorant. And while Matt Moore is a competent backup who for a game or two, he can survive, but not against the elites of the league. And that's what you have with the Packers. I mean, think about the Packers. When did they play last? They just played on a Thursday night. So they have, they just played on a Monday night. Now they play the Raiders at home. Meanwhile, they have time to to get tape on Matt Moore, to know this offense. And by the way, it's the same offense the Bears run, so there aren't going to be nearly the number of surprises for other teams that cross over and play against the Chiefs as there are throughout the NFC. But I'm just word to the wise Chiefs fans, the five stages of grieving, you may be through denial. You may be through anger. What is Andy Reid doing? With the bargaining, we could trade for Cam. You can't trade for Cam. You can't trade for somebody who doesn't know the offense. There might be a little depression right now, but I'm encouraging you to get to acceptance, outright acceptance. Once you get to acceptance, you'll realize that there's a chance last night's injury takes you out of the playoffs, essentially ends your season. He's that good. He's that important to this team, short-term and long-term. They're going to err on the side of caution. Their schedule is the 10th toughest remaining, and most of those tough games are during the period in which he'll be out. That was a massive, massive injury, even if it was a big win for the team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's welcome in NFL insider Adam Kaplan. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And Adam, how big an injury do you think Mahomes' dislocated kneecap was?
It is. It's big, Doug. Good to talk to you. Yeah, here's why. Matt Moore, give him credit. Andy Reid did a great job of managing him, but it was a little bit ugly. I mean, you're talking to a guy who was semi-retired. He was going to get into scouting and maybe some coaching. And this just tells you the state of the backup play of the National Football League. It's hard to get good backup quarterbacks, but they'll be able to manage it. They do have a run game. It's going to be a minimum of 3 weeks. It could be more than that. I know that Mahomes was told after the x-ray, we think there's no other damage, and that's what the MRI confirmed this morning. The images were good, and that's good. Look, it was an injury where you look at it and you go, okay, what exactly happened? And then you see the medical staff reset his knee. That was kind of interesting, the video that we saw there. So, but much better than it looked, and they're going to be impacted because they're not going to be able to play their offense the same way.
Yeah, and the other part to it is, no matter when we want to say he's going to be healthy, he's going to be right, there's no chance that the Chiefs, who want him to be their quarterback for the next 10, 15 years, are going to rush him back. If we hear three games, it feels like it'll be six, no?
I'm glad you said that, because the one thing when I deal with teams that say, hey, this is the time frame, they might say 3 weeks, 4 weeks. When it's a knee injury that does not need to be repaired, you could rehab it, but it's not going to be 100%. You could be looking at 3 to 5 weeks. Now, their hope is that if all goes well, once he starts practicing, that there's enough strength in the knee that he has how many setbacks, maybe before the Week 12 bye, he plays at the Chargers, but that to me is a little bit pie in the sky. But the best thing happened here is that there's no ligament damage. There's nothing associated with the kneecap, nothing other than the injury that happened last night. No additional damage. That's the best they could hope for. And now you wait, and he's going to have to wear a brace on that knee, by the way. It's not like he's just going to go out there and run. That's the other thing that people are not understanding, Doug, is he's going to have to change the way he plays with that knee brace. He won't be running as much.
And he already had the bad ankle, and and everything they do is built around him. And the whole thing is fascinating. Adam Kaplan joins us, NFL insider for SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kaplan with a C, Kaplan NFL. Also, check out the Inside the Birds podcast. All right, let's make our way around the National Football League. Yep. Let's talk about those Eagles. Biggest game of the weekend, I would say, is Eagles versus Cowboys. Let's take the Cowboys' perspective. They get their bookend tackles back at practice. Still no word on their wide receivers. What are your thoughts on that offense versus the Eagles' defense?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we know Amari Cooper's got his issue with his bruised quadriceps. That you're concerned about. Both tackles, they're pretty hopeful for one will play. They don't know if both will play. But that's a problem. I mentioned Cooper. Defensively, they've got some injuries in the secondary. By the way, Philly's really banged up. But the Eagles' secondary was atrocious last week. I had a veteran personnel man say that he never had seen so many missed assignments. In fact, He thought on defense they had at least a dozen, and quite frankly, if the Vikings tried to put on more points in the fourth quarter, they might have scored 50. That's how embarrassing it was for the Eagles secondary. However, they're going to get Jalen Mills, who started for them at cornerback in the Super Bowl from his broken foot. He's been out for almost a calendar year. They're hopeful with Ronald Darby, their other starting quarterback, to come back. That is a big reason why I think they could win that game. But guess what? They're going to have their left tackle first-round pick, Andre Dillard, starting his first NFL game going against that really good Cowboy front.
That's going to be interesting. Okay, so let's talk about the Eagles. They lead the league in drops, right? And this is big for whether it's big for Carson Wentz with the Eagles or not. It feels big because you got Dak who wants Carson Wentz money. It's the same draft, et cetera, et cetera. You mentioned their defensive problems. What about offensively? Yeah, obviously, DeSean Jackson was supposed to take the top off the defense. You know, you didn't have your best wide receiver for the start of the year, and they had all those big drops, which caused a couple of those losses. Where is that offense?
It's not good. They cannot get the ball downfield at all. They have no one who could run. Nelson Agholor, the former first-round pick in 15, Chip Kelly, Chip's last year. He's more of a slot receiver, a vertical slot. He's not really a deep threat, doesn't track the ball real well. They have a compressed passing game. This is why in this game, and you're going to see it, I'm pretty certain of it, the way you beat the Cowboys defense, you throw against the safeties, you get the tight ends involved. Evan Engram, the tight end for the Giants, killed them in week one. Engram, by the way, will be back this week from his grade one MCL sprain. But getting back to the Eagles here, they're going to have to use the tight ends more. Dallas Goedert, their second-round pick last year, was a big factor against Minnesota last week. That's what they're going to have to do. And by the way, DeSean Jackson was incredible week one, but I'm told he's got a grade two abdomen tear in his right down. It's the towards muscle core injury. They don't know when exactly he's going to be back. They're hopeful for next week at Buffalo, but they're not even certain right now. And without him, Doug, their passing game is completely different.
No Alvin Kamara at practice today for the Saints. Teddy Bridgewater continues to improve, and you know they've band-aided this thing without Drew Brees quite well. But now this different animal going to Chicago taking on the Bears. What are your thoughts on the Saints on the road? Traditionally not a great open weather team, but the Bears have their own offensive issues.
Doug, the big story about this football team is not how Teddy Bridgewater's playing, believe it or not. It's how great their defense has been. Their defense, this is the best defense that they put together in 10 years. They have no weakness. I would argue if Marcus Lattimore's in Danville's best corner, he's top three. He's a phenomenal player. He's shutting everyone down. They play a lot of man coverage with him. Does a great job. I'm picking the Saints to win this game. I don't think they're going to have a problem. I know the Bears are coming off of their bye, and teams benefit from having a bye, but this Saint defense, believe it or not, it travels well, and I think they'll come out and win this game.
Travels well.
Know,
something we haven't
know,
heard. Something we have not heard from the Saints in the past. All right, let me work my way to the Green Bay Packers. They get a win. They kind of survive against the Detroit Lions, and now they get the Oakland Raiders, who are a surprising team. But you know the Packers. It's been a series of drops, and the defense at times has allowed itself to be gashed with the running game. And you're coming up against a team in the Raiders that they want to get rid of it quickly and run the football. Any chance the Raiders have for an upset?
Here's what's the problem: is their number one receiver Tyrell Williams will not play with his turf toe injury, and then their right tackle Trent Brown is not expected to play. That's a problem for me. I know they're coming off of a bye. This is going to be hard. They don't score a lot of points. They're just going to have to rely on Josh Jacobs, their first-round pick. I don't feel real good about it. Do I give them a chance yet? Because they can run the football, and their defense, surprisingly, has played pretty well lately, but Green Bay is still great at home. I don't see them getting it done, and I don't know who's going to make a play for them. Other than Darren Waller, who got this nice extension, what a great story he is, their tight end. I just don't see him scoring enough. I think the Packers, one way or another, will win that game.
Yeah, that's how they've been winning. What are your thoughts on the Jalen Ramsey trade?
The only thing that surprised me is it got done this early. I know there are a bunch of teams in it. The Eagles were one of them. I just don't think teams were willing to give up not only first-round picks, two of them. I had one GM tell me, look, if we give up two first-round picks, we're getting some back, like the Raiders, like the Bears did in the Mac trade. They actually got a second back after giving up two ones. The only team that was willing to beat that I know of was the Rams. Now, I know there are a bunch of teams were in it. No one that I know of was able to beat two ones and a four, and that's why they got it done. But let me just tell you something about the Rams. Aqib Talib on IR, their other starting corner, it's going to be a problem opposite Jalen Ramsey if he does play on Sunday. He did practice well, I'm told, yesterday. John Johnson, their outstanding young safety, is on injured reserve. They're beat up in the offensive line. They're not running the ball well, Doug, as they were earlier in the season. They still have a lot of problems here when they play the Falcons on Sunday.
All right, what about the Seahawks that keep finding a way, right? Like, probably should have lost to the Rams. go and beat the Browns on the road. And they just they find a way. Now you got the Ravens coming in, and the Ravens against the elite level teams, Lamar Jackson has shown his ceilings. Against the lower level teams, he's been dominant. Lamar Jackson, year two. Are you more of a buyer now?
I'm a little bit of a buyer. I had a nice talk with Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, when he came to Philly when they had combined practices. And look, this is the guy who developed Colin Kaepernick, and Greg Roman is probably the best run game designer in the National Football League. My only problem with Lamar Jackson is, Doug, runs the ball way too much, and he's not like a big guy like Cam Newton. He's not 6 foot five. He's just over 6 foot two, a little bit wiry. You're asking for trouble. And Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, is also running too much. I really worry when quarterbacks run too much. But it's working right now because Roman's creating so much space for Jackson to run. He's doing a great job. But on the road at Seattle, by the way, Seahawks getting back Jaron Reed, their really good defensive tackle, from a six-game suspension. That should impact their defense, and I'll be interested to see if the Ravens can really get the run game going against a young and improved Seattle defense.
Adam Kaplan joining us, NFL insider for SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Also check out the Inside the Birds podcast. I would say the Chargers might be the most disappointing team this season, and I know they've had a lot of injuries. They just got back their left tackle from blood clot issues. You don't have Derwin James. They didn't have Hunter Henry for a couple games. They go and take on a Tennessee team that has decided the Marcus Mariota era is over. These are two teams just kind of grasping at something. What are your thoughts first on the Chargers if they can turn this ship around?
Doug, you hit on the top here. Their defensive injuries are a major part. Derwin James, of course, is the biggest one. Two of their top three safeties are out. They're not getting the pass rush like they have in the past. They're doing the best they can. The run defense isn't great. And they can't protect. Now, when you talk about Russell Okung with coming back from his pulmonary embolism, he is practicing. He may not play this week, though. They're not sure yet. They'll figure that out. But once they get him back, their offensive line was atrocious in their last game. It's hard to win, and it's hard to win when you can't protect. So that's a problem. Now, Tennessee, let's get over to that Marcus Mariota being benched. Yes, look, let's not forget this personnel staff and coaching staff, Doug, inherited this quarterback. That, to me, is a problem. Unless Ryan Tannehill doesn't even play fair football, I don't think Mariota will get another start in. They got to win games. Their defense is fantastic. They have a real good chance to get Cam Wake back from his hamstring injury. He's their outside linebacker who's added a good veteran presence. I think Ryan Tannehill has got a better arm to give him a little bit of juice. And hopefully, though, that they've got a coaching staff that it's the first time they've been in charge of a quarterback before, like a situation like this. This is not easy to change quarterbacks in the middle of a season, but their defense is so good, I think they'll find a way to win this game.
Yeah, what is the major issue with Mariota?
Not seeing the field well, not getting rid of the football quickly. He's too deliberate. He's just not been real accurate. They're having trouble processing their offense. He's just not getting rid of the football in time. Now, ironically, Ryan Tannehill's problem is he's a see it and throw it. That means waits, throws it, but he's got a much better arm than Mariota. When Mariota looked like he's one of the better young quarterbacks in the league, but he was throwing the ball on rhythm, very accurate, also would be a threat with his legs, and he's just not the same player anymore. It could be the too many injuries, but one thing I would say is the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, first year calling plays, never developed a quarterback.
Right.
Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, only in his second year of coaching quarterbacks. I think quarterback development, it sometimes is tied to how long these guys have worked with quarterbacks. And I'm not going to put it all on Marcus Mariota. I think everyone's got a hand on this.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Kansas City did to develop Pat Mahomes and the layers that they have. Look what Philadelphia has done to develop Carson Wentz. And there's a reason those young guys have. In fact, even look at Dallas, and what they're trying to do to develop Dak Prescott, it's different than what Tennessee's doing. Let me ask you about Cleveland. You mentioned inaccuracies and suddenly a guy who was playing well not playing well. How deep are the issues with Baker Mayfield? Are they fixable?
They are. He's got some issues with accuracy. Boy, was he accurate last year. He needs to settle down. He's playing too fast. He's not letting the game come to him. But the other problem is, which he has nothing to do with, and I knew this. I told people they got a below-average offensive line. It's been well below average. It's been a nightmare. They don't protect well. The only thing they do is they run the ball well. But their line is not very good, and John Dorsey, their general manager, I think he's got to be in the market for offensive linemen. That's something they may do before the trade deadline. They just traded one, and Austin Corbett, to the Rams, a former second rounder at Penn State, who I had a personnel guy say, look, one personnel guy I'm really close with said, look, I had a third round grade on him, not a two, but he may wind up starting for the Rams in a couple weeks.
Okay, let me ask you about Trent Williams really quickly before we let you go. Obviously, he's the big get out there. He don't want to play the Redskins. Redskins want a Pirates ransom for him. What's the market like for him in terms of the value, and where do you see him going?
Yeah, well, Cleveland. Look, Cleveland's looking for help with the offensive line. He's a left tackle, not a right tackle. He could help them immediately. There's a good market for him, but they're not willing to do it. But see, this is what I've always said, and John Elway, the GM of the Broncos, is probably going to come down to the same thing. They won two in a row. Now they just got embarrassed at home. If they lose again, they'll be 2-6 at the trade deadline. You got to move players who don't want to be there or who are the last year of their deals. Chris Harris, the corner, I think he'll wind up getting moved if they lose next week. Emmanuel Sanders also on the front of his deal. There should be some action on him. Trent Williams, he doesn't want to be there. You saw what Jalen Ramsey did. He didn't want to be there. If the guy doesn't want to be there in the end and you can't mend fences, the guy won't meet with you. What is the point? Get value. You're not going anywhere. I think Bruce Allen's got to get realistic here. They're going to have a new coaching staff next year. You might as well start with a new left tackle.
Adam Kaplan, NFL Insider, Sirius XM. Great follow on Twitter, at Kaplan NFL. And check out his podcast, Inside the Birds. Adam, what a great wealth of information you are. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Josine Anderson's an outstanding NFL insider for ESPN. Her report has this this quote from an unnamed Eagles player. We need to make bleep simpler. Sometimes we need to just handle what it is manageable. Even Peyton Manning knew when to check it down. Carson Wentz right now is 38% on passes that travel 15 yards in the air and has three interceptions on passes like that, which is tied for most in the league, Josina Anderson said. He also has 148 passes on those that are 10 yards or fewer. Right now, he has 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions on passes like that. So I do think it's an apt point. This is Anderson reporting both an unnamed player's quotes and the stats to kind of back up the idea of Carson Wentz forcing the ball downfield too much. But this is where stats don't really tell the story unless you tell all the stats. The Eagles lead the league in drop passes. Nelson Aguilar against the Atlanta Falcons, in his hands. Zach Ertz, in his hands. They lead the league in drop passes. Their offense is third in the NFL in third down conversion percentage, which, by the way, is like the most important number, that and red zone percentage are the two most important ones. And they're fourth in red zone touchdown conversion. So those are the two most important stats, that and giveaways. They're ninth in points per game. What's the problem? 23rd in points per game given up defensively. 5 most passing touchdowns, 4th most passing touchdowns. Remember, their loss to the Falcons, Aguilar dropped a wide open pass that would have won them the game. And in week 3 against the Lions, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the kid from Stanford, dropped a 40-yard bomb that Wentz threw on 4th and 15, 49 seconds remaining, trailing by 3. The Falcons' drop was Aguilar, I think a minute 53 to go, on 3rd down, wide open. And by the way, same game, Zach Ertz, a little comeback route that was like a yard short of the sticks. Otherwise, trailing by 6, they got 1st and goal. And remember, they're top 5 in the league in red zone touchdown conversion percentage. So what exactly are we talking about? Yeah, you want to check it down, and yeah, they've been successful on checking down, but part of it is they don't really have Deshaun Watson, they don't have Deshaun Jackson to take the top off the defense. So sometimes you got to force things to free things up. Like, what are we really talking about? The unnamed player. Who's the unnamed player? Running back who's going to get a check down? Is that what it is? Is that what we're dealing with here? It's a quote that we're going to blow out of proportion because it's a big game, because it's Wentz against Dak, because the Eagles got their ass whooped last week. You just heard Adam Kaplan join us last hour. Adam Kaplan's NFL insider for SiriusXM. And he said a defensive coach said they had 11 missed assignments, the most those guys had ever seen, his coach had watched ever seen in one NFL game. 11 missed assignments. That's Crazy Town USA numbers. Those are really crazy, crazy numbers. So I understand that what happens with Wentz, and this is what happens with everybody. You get that big contract, we're gonna evaluate you differently. That becomes like, look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff's offensive line's terrible. Todd Gurley hadn't played the last couple weeks, and suddenly, why'd you get, and there were questions about Jared Goff's contract when you gave him that contract. But we're also coming off a year in which he led the Rams to a Super Bowl. And whatever you think of the blown call in New Orleans, the Rams did win the game on the road, and Jared Goff was their quarterback. Didn't score an offensive touchdown in the Super Bowl, didn't play well. But considering he's in his, third year in the league last year, fourth year in the league this year, he's trending to being an elite quarterback, and you want cost certainty. I would agree they probably overpaid Jared Goff, and maybe he didn't have to pay Carson Wentz so much money because those guys got those early guaranteed deals. But when you have your guy, you lock up your guy, you got cost certainty that position, the prices are only going up. And Carson Wentz, unlike Jared Goff, unlike Dak Prescott, unlike any of these other quarterbacks, outside of Pat Mahomes, who was the NFL's MVP, he was going to be the MVP 2 years ago. Then he tore his ACL. And they had the Super Bowl hangover. He was coming back from injury. Offensive line wasn't as good. Defense wasn't as good. The outcome wasn't as good. But the numbers would tell you that Carson Wentz has been on target as much or more than any quarterback in the league. He hadn't had DeSean Jackson. He didn't have Alshon Jeffrey early in the year. And they're still competitive in spite of the fact that they had led the league in drops. So what exactly are we talking about? If you think they're losing because of Carson Wentz, you have to either be watching, you're not watching Red Zone because the Red Zone conversion percentage is top five in the league. I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you're watching. They are losing because their defensive backfield stinks. They're losing because they don't get the quarterback like they used to. They're losing because they've had a ton of drops and a ton of injuries at positions where he's going to throw them the football. That's where they're losing. Has he been perfect? No quarterback is perfect. I have searched for perfection and yet to find it. Pat Mahomes throws some picks. We all go, he's got a bad ankle. Right? Before he popped out his knee last night, he's got a bad ankle. Okay. He had some injuries too. The best guys are going to look. Aaron Rodgers, they weren't good the first couple weeks, right? The best guys are the best guys for a reason. Carson Wentz is one of the best guys. You haven't figured that out yet. There's actually statistical analysis that tells you he's playing the best or one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the entire freaking league. And so whoever this unnamed player is, that's just what happens. When you're the highest paid guy, when you're the quarterback, when you're the golden child, you're going to have somebody who, and it does feel the check it down thing feels like a swipe at him, but the complexity thing feels like a swipe at the offense. They're trying to dial some stuff up. They're trying to dial some special stuff up because they feel like they don't have the personnel to have those explosive plays. I'm not saying with any disrespect to Josina Anderson's unnamed report. I'm just simply pointing out that most of the stats belie the idea that Carson Wentz isn't playing well and actually tell the story that the wide receivers aren't playing well, that the defense isn't playing well. And that feels like a more accurate depiction of what's actually taking place.